In brightest day,
in blackest night.
The best and greatest of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. To hear the lamentation of the women.
Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your karate commandos.
Reverse back-kicking the world of comic books.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle.
Yes.
Yeah, did you like that?
Love it, Chris.
Now,
you know what you just did there? You gave it a judo chop chop.
Do you remember that from the Flintstones?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. You were a bit of a karate guy when you were younger, weren't you?
Just when I was really young.
Yeah.
When I was three.
Wow.
I was the champ.
The champ?
Yeah.
They call me the champ.
The potty champ.
I bet you were.
Yeah.
Alrighty then.
Yes, yes, Kato. It is time to move on
into
the world of comic books.
Walt, how are you today?
I'm great, Chris. Wednesday, my favorite day of the week. Other than maybe Saturday.
Sunday, maybe even. Hey, you know, it was Father's Day. Did you have a good Father's Day?
It was excellent.
Yeah, I'm not a father yet.
Yes.
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of.
No, that's right. So, did you have a good Father's Day? I know you're a father.
Yeah. You know what? You're just so thankful that those little buggers get you something once in a while.
Right. Hey, did they get? But you told me earlier that Alex, your son, maybe I shouldn't mention names on the radio, your son got you an ice cream.
Yeah.
Did he have to save up his allowance for that?
No, I paid. He just went up and he ordered it. It was kind of cute.
Oh, so when you told me that he bought you an ice cream,
well,
I thought you meant that he paid for it.
Dad, can I have $10 and go buy an ice cream?
That's about right.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, listen, let's move on with the show. We got a big show.
Big shoe.
And where do we start?
All right, let's start with New This Week. And New This Week is brought to you by The Watchers. Who watches The Watchmen? Well, The Watchers watch The Watchmen.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, The Watcher.
The Watcher from Marvel.
Marvel.
And they've got The Watchmen from DC.
DC.
But The Watchers, like Uatu, The Watcher, watches everything. So I guess they watch The Watchmen.
I guess so. I guess you're right. Yeah. See, there's a place and time for everything.
And in especially my comic nerdery.
Right. No, but just that's the way nature is.
That's true. But who watches The Watchers?
Let's move on, Chris.
All right.
So what do we got, Chris? You lined up a stellar Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle. By Anthony Bedard and E. Guerra and Paul Renault. This is we barely ever talk about Blue Beetle, so I figured
for a good reason.
Well, you know, we hadn't talked about Blue Beetle for a while, so we figured we just very very briefly mention him. He's on the run from the DEO.
Lookout.
I know.
Wow.
The DEO. And this one's actually also guest starring Mr. Bones. Now, Mr. Bones is kind of a cool character. He's that guy. He's actually like a skull.
He's like a doctor, right? He fixes guys in space.
No. He's part of like the CIA type thing.
Right. Oh, right. Okay.
DEO.
I get it.
Yeah,
I understand.
So,
All right.
He's like a skeleton.
And so what
you're
telling me though is you're telling me that Blue Beetle fans will pick up on this.
Absolutely.
They'll get very excited.
They will love this.
Really.
Love it.
All right.
Yes. All right.
So that is
Blue Beetle today
from DC Comics.
Yeah.
Hitting your local comic book shop today.
Yeah.
Blue Beetle. And is there a number?
Number 12, I think it is.
Okay.
No, number 10. Number 10.
Right, awesome.
Number 10.
All right. You know what? And it's good news for Blue Beetle, by the way, that it's still sticking around.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Next up, we're switching tactics here. We're going to go to IDW. Mars Attacks number 1. I thought this was a very interesting comic coming out today. Now, you're probably not old enough. I know I'm certainly not old enough. Do you remember? But there years ago, Topps Trading Card Company. Now, you're obviously a fan of collectibles and things like that. So, you know, you've heard of the Topps Card Company before,
indeed,
right?
I have.
Okay, so Topps is a big manufacturer of baseball cards. Well, back in the day, they used to publish a lot of non-sports cards as well.
Right.
So in the 1950s, I believe it was the 50s, they put out Mars Attacks Trading Cards. And these were done by, you know, a myriad of great artists out there. And basically, it kind of showed all these aliens coming down to the planet Earth and just sort of attacking. There, some of them were really gory, like blood going out everywhere.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So they're really cool. And then, of course, years later, director, what's his name? The guy that did
Alfred Hitchcock.
No. The guy
Frank Capra.
No, you know, the guy that did, he did a Mars Attacks movie.
Martin Scorsese.
He did it, the guy that does all the crazy horror type movies, Edward Scissorhands, Tim Burton.
Meyer. Cecil B. Meyer.
No.
Cecil B. DeMille.
I'm pretty sure that Russ Meyer did not put out a Mars Attacks movie, although that would be something else.
Tim Burton.
Anyways, yeah. Tim Burton actually made a movie based on this card set. Anyways, my point is that there's a new comic book coming out. Featuring an all-new Mars Attacks universe. And this is going to be an outrageous action and dark humor kind of comic by John Layman, who did who's the writer of Chew, and John McCrae, who is actually the artist of Hitman.
All right, so you got two heavyweights there,
and
talented
then,
guys.
Yep, and then the first issue is actually going to feature 55 different regular front covers. 55. Each one depicting one card from the original 1960s, from the original 1962 set. And the back cover of each one will feature original card art that told the story.
Wow.
So originally on the card, you'd have like the cover, like the card art, and then on the back, you'd have the story, right? So they're basically going to have the same thing, all 55 cards in all 55 covers. And so one of the, and you know what? Wally Wood was a big artist of those original Mars Attacks cards.
You know what? That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It'll never work.
Don't say it like that. Come
on. Well, you know, the Mars Attacks, I believe that was a stinker of a bomb of a movie, was it not?
Well, it wasn't. No, it wasn't a bomb. It didn't do as well as people thought it would, but it wasn't a bomb.
All right.
It did okay. It had Jack Nicholson in it and Christina Applegate and, I don't know, a bunch of other
I don't know, Chris. I don't like its chances. You know, when you put 55 covers out.
55.
That's what I hate, right?
55.
Yeah, I can't buy 55.
That's right.
All right. All right, let's keep it going. So that's IDW.
That is IDW, yeah.
Mars Attacks number one.
That's right. So next up we got the Punisher number 12. Now, the only reason why I decided to choose this one is Punisher is a long-standing comic character. It's been around since Amazing Spider-Man number 129. And sometimes people never know when to jump onto a comic. This is a perfect jumping on point for those that want to read The Punisher.
The Punisher.
Yeah. So this the only reason why I...
Did Arnold ever play The Punisher?
No.
No, you're right. No. That was the Terminator. Kind of looked the same.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Both had leather jackets.
Punisher, Terminator, same kind of thing, right? Yeah.
He should have played The Punisher. Maybe,
probably, yeah.
Rather than Dolph Lundgren. Even though that Punisher was better than the last Punisher they made around 2000, whatever it was.
Well, there's actually three Punisher movies that have been made.
I missed one. Where the heck did time go?
The middle one was not bad. The middle one was with...
David Hasselhoff.
No. I actually don't remember the guy's name, but there's been three.
Right.
The first one with Dolph Lundgren was terrible. The second one was good. It actually had John Travolta as the bad guy in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the last one was it was Punisher Max or Punisher Hardcore or something like that. Right. Anyways, it wasn't all that good, but the last one, the middle one was good.
Okay, so Punisher number 12 at your local comic book shop today. You're telling me, Chris, is it's a great jump-on point.
Great jump-on point. That's the only reason why I brought it up.
Okay.
Is that it's just a really good jumping-on point. It kind of tells a little bit of the story, the backstory, so people can read it and not having any problems.
Right. Okay, good. All right. So let's keep it going. That, of course, available at your local comic book shop today.
Yes. And my last one is the Kids Pick of the Week. And I decided to go for a trade paperback this week.
A trade paperback.
I say. Sonic the Hedgehog trade paperback from Archie Comics. Of course, this, everybody knows, are the Sonic the Hedgehog from the famed Sega video game.
Yes, of course.
And it's been around for a long time, and there's a great trade paperback that comes out today. And it's just kind of a cool thing. There's all, Sonic goes into the past, and you know, all he goes out into space, all kinds of great new things going on with the, with.
There's nothing like a trip to the past followed by a trip to space.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Especially if you're a hedgehog.
Yeah, well.
Oh, Mr. Carter.
But that's all I've got for new this week, and so I thought we'd go right into a musical interlude.
Chris, hit me with what's your
all
best
right,
shot.
Well, this one,
fire away.
This one is called "A Real Hero." It's by College. Couldn't you just picture yourself
at
the end of a John Hughes movie there?
you know, that song does give hope to every fledgling musician out there.
Well, that's the way it happens. So anyway, that was A Real Hero by College featuring Electric Youth.
Good for them. Yeah. Good for them.
All right, well, let's keep on moving here.
Chris, let's move it along.
Yeah, so we got, mailbag.
Oh, sure.
We got mailbag.
Can I read the mailbag?
You sure can.
You've been taking this thing over. You've been hijacking
well,
it.
Well, go ahead and read the announcer, why don't
all
you?
All right. Well, hold on.
Yeah,
is
you
there
didn't,
a
see, I knew you didn't even have that. See, I knew you didn't even have
hey,
that.
Hey, the Comic Culture Mail Brag is brought to you by Zap, Kapow, and Zowie. Sure, there are other words in comic books, but these are the best.
Very, very true. All very
right.
true.
All right,
so,
Chris,
what do you got for mailbag?
I'm going to read the mailbag. It says, addressed to both you and me, I like these. Dear Chris and Walt, what is the craziest thing you've ever seen at a comic book convention? Rodney D. in Newark, New Jersey.
You know what? That's a great
question. Yo, say yo, Rodney!
That's a great, great question. Let me think about that for a second.
Okay, we've been to a lot of cons.
We've been to a lot of cons together. Oh, you know what? Here's one that we both went to together.
Okay.
Do you remember we went down to Detroit, actually?
Yeah.
Do you remember? Okay, now here's the stage.
Set the stage.
We're on our way to Detroit, and we're pulling into the convention center. And the convention center is one of those great, big, huge convention centers.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Out in the middle of nowhere, and it's actually got like two sides to it.
Kind
of
thing.
Like, so we pull into the one side, and the parking lot is completely empty, save for a bunch of police cars and SWAT cars and, paddy wagons.
Like an army unit. Dressed in black
SWAT. Yeah, all
SWAT
with their SWAT gear on. They're all,
I remember that.
And they're all kind of, like, you know, walking around. And then we're like, oh, that's kind of weird. And then we go.
There must be some sort of maneuvers or
something.
Yeah,
I wonder if they're training or something, right? And then we go around to the other side of the building where, of course, it's all kind of packed and everything. We go inside. And not like an hour later, do you remember when, you know, all those SWAT people and all the teams, they came in and they raided the convention.
Yeah, they barged in.
And they raided all the people that were selling weapons, and they were selling contraband movies and contraband DVDs.
Like pirated.
Yeah. And so that was crazy because all of a sudden now you get all these dealers who had to leave their booth unattended, left in handcuffs.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome.
It was crazy.
Yeah,
Very crazy.
Did you take as much as I did that
day? Absolutely. It was free for all.
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. It was very cool.
Listen, yeah, that was crazy. That was a cool, day.
Yeah.
It was kind of a thing we didn't expect, definitely.
No. And that was something. But do you remember, a few years ago, even in Canada here at the Fan Expo, the weapons people got raided the one time as well with all their, because they're bringing in like nunchucks and like, you know, morning stars and all those kind of weird kind of medieval type of weapons, and of course they didn't have a weapons license.
Yeah.
And even though they were selling them as props, didn't quite cut it for the local police.
Right. Well, you know what? Mine isn't as much as yours. I've had a couple of pretty. Anyway, what we'll do is we were waiting. You didn't go to this con. It was at the Boston Con.
Okay, right.
And we were waiting in line outside at the Boston Con. And Chris, you and I go to a lot of shows.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've been to a Boston Con in like 15 years.
Right.
Everybody knows us at the other shows, and we usually get in through dealer pass.
Right.
We kind of use our schmooze. You know, you and I are world famous radio hosts. We don't have to wait.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we ended up waiting because there was a bunch of us and we didn't know anybody and we didn't look for stuff. So we ended up waiting with the commoners.
With the schlubs.
Yeah.
How'd that
feel? So we're in line.
Get in line, buddy.
And it was great. And there was this guy. So what you do? What do you do? You strike up conversations
with the people around you.
You get a feel, right? And boy, did we hit upon a guy.
Oh, yeah?
He was worried that he was communicating with Spock.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, during the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was worried that some sort of alien thing would disrupt the thing.
Well,
and
it
so
does happen.
I quickly turned away and started talking to the other guys, leaving one of our buddies, getting the full frontal from this guy.
That's the worst part
about it is, like, literally 7 seconds later, I hear our buddy go, "Look, pal, don't talk to me anymore." Which was kind of embarrassing, and you feel awkward.
Oh.
And there's still an hour waiting in line, and we're waiting. Now you don't know what the heck to do. Do you move down in line? Like, do you go like 15 people back just to kind of avoid the situation? And so that was kind of.
But you know what? Even things like that happen. Where did you ever see the movie A Christmas Story?
No.
Where so the Ralphie who's waiting in line to see Santa, mm-hmm. and there's some dweeby kid behind him, and he's like, "Oh, I like Fanta," and he's like, "Don't talk to me, I'm thinking," you know. So even it happens everywhere in real life, right?
All right.
Like
I feel better now, Chris.
Old,
thanks.
Right? So.
All right, Rodney. I hope your experiences have been more positive.
Absolutely,
than,
and that was from Newark.
Than that one, yeah, Rodney from Newark.
It's good to see we got fans even in Newark.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
All right, let's move this puppy along.
Dive right into trailer trash.
Oh, yeah, Chris, trailer trash. You dug this up.
Do we have a sponsor?
Well, no,
trash?
We're going to save the sponsor for industry news. Because, you know what, Chris, these guys only pay a certain amount of money.
We
don't want to read their stuff
really
more
do,
than that we have to.
All right, well, yeah, go ahead. So I brought this one up. Now, you saw the Avengers movie. Now,
I loved it.
Which is strange, because you never see movies in
general. I know, but I love this one.
So, and now, the Avengers movie, we got to quickly talk about this. Very interesting. Already, they're talking about having Joss Whedon have a director's cut available for the Blu-ray edition of the movie when it comes out on DVD, probably sometime in the Christmas time or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, because Christmas would be a great time for this to come out on DVD.
Sure, why not, right?
Well, there is a source that says, because Disney, of course, owns Marvel, and Disney may make it happen to have this special director's cut of Joss Whedon's Avengers come out before the Blu-ray in an additional release of the movie. And this would take place, they would actually have an extra half an hour in the actual movie theaters, so you would have a 3-hour version of this Avengers movie come to the movie theaters itself.
Wow, like, okay, so this is a few months from now, though. This isn't
tomorrow.
This isn't while it's still running like it is running now.
Well, here's the thing. I could see it happening where, you know, it may stop playing in the next 6 to 8 weeks,
mm-hmm.
you know, say August.
Yeah.
But then it comes back again in, like, November.
Right.
With a special three-hour version of it. Now, the whole reason why they're doing this is because right now they are at the number 3 of all top all-time top domestic grossing movies ever, right?
Uh-huh.
So number one, you've got Avatar. Number two, you've got Titanic. And already you've got The Avengers at number three. Now, so of course, people that haven't seen the special three-hour edition movie, they're going to want to go out and see it, especially if you're a fan. I mean, I've seen the movie three times already, mm-hmm. and I would certainly go back and see it one more time right. if I get to see an extra 30 minutes. So I can see this happening.
I don't like it.
Why not?
You know, it's like the guy. It's you know what it's like.
What's it like?
It's like the guy coming up. He's got 494 home runs.
Yeah,
and he's washed up. He's over the hill, and he comes back to try to hit six more.
What's wrong with that?
Everything.
Why?
I don't know. Because he's batting 192 for 7 months to try to get that. It just seems so. I don't know.
You know what?
I don't know.
I don't have a problem with it.
I don't
have a problem.
That's obvious.
No, I think it's great. Clearly I'm a fan, so I would love to see the fact that.
No, I think they should redraw the lines. They should play fair. They should have a 12 week maximum run.
No, yeah. That's ridiculous.
And then you pack your punch into there, and people have to go see it.
So are you saying that every movie should be 12 weeks only?
Well,
every movie
the good ones, some of them will only be one.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah. Fair enough. But right. So you're saying that even the good ones should only
have... you want more movies.
Don't you remember...
You don't want these movies to hog, you know?
Yeah.
Like Captain Canuck's about to come, and it can't get in because the Avengers is there.
Because, you know, we want more movies. Because, you know, we need more, like, Ernest Goes to Camp movies, and we need more...
That second one was a damn good flick.
Vacation movies, right? We need more of that. Yeah, that's great. Good idea.
Listen, I'm not saying what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying...
And by the way, people don't write in. I know that Jim Varney has passed away. I was using Ernest Goes to Camp an idea. That's
sure.
all.
I'm just saying that this, look how close we are. Let's just try to stretch and milk and massage this puppy I don't know. You know, then there should be like, it's like a steroid. There should be then an asterisk beside its name if it's the all-time biggest thing.
So what you're saying
it's
now
like the
is,
Sammy Sosa of films.
So you're saying that an extra 30 minutes is like, you know, Avengers on steroids.
Right.
Right.
Right, yeah.
So we better get
injected back into the movie theaters.
Call the steroid blood doping people.
That's right. Yeah. That's you, by the way.
People don't know that. I'm
oh,
just saying.
Okay. Yeah. Never mind.
All right, whatever.
Anyway, I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like it. I'm just putting my 3 cents in.
You know what? Okay. Whether you like it or not, it just might happen. And if you don't like it, you're going to be buying the Avengers movie on DVD, and it's going to have the extra 30 minutes on it.
Right, okay.
Right?
All right. All right. Fair enough. Listen, right. Let's keep
more
moving.
More trailer trash.
All right. We got a spoiler alert. Do we have a
spoiler
sound
alert.
Effect for spoiler alert?
We probably
alert?
Should get one.
Yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
No, that's back
beep.
Up.
Oh, that's back up, yeah.
About,
Loot, loot, loot,
loot. Anyway. Listen, clips from the new Dark Knight Rises are showing, spoiler alert again, focusing in on the Batcopter, simply known as the Bat.
Ooh, that's cool.
So I saw it, I watched it, it is pretty, pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, well, you actually saw a trailer?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Yeah. You know, you're a lot more hip than people give
you
credit
for. Listen, I, you know, I'm putting this show together here, this part of it anyway, and I have to do my research.
Well, that's good. Well, yes, apparently the Batcopter is going to be referred to as the Bat, and apparently Lucius Fox is the guy that's sort of all about the one who's creating it.
I totally got that wrong. Because I thought it was Luscious Fox. I thought it was a girl.
Yeah, no. Morgan Freeman, famed actor,
yes,
not
yes,
actress.
Yes, I get it now.
He is the creator of the Batcopter.
And also the creator of Easy Reader.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, was he Easy Reader? Yeah, he was.
He was
wasn't
Easy
he?
Reader, yeah,
yeah
back
right.
in the early 70s on Sesame Street.
Was it Sesame? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You're just a wealth full of knowledge, eh?
All right, listen. Yeah. There was also a cool thing on a trailer trash thing on a new poster coming out.
Oh, okay. What's that?
This was cool. It was had a big, huge, great picture like of Martin Luther King.
Oh, yeah.
And in the background, there were zombies.
Zombies?
And it was MLK, Zombie Hunter.
Oh, you're kidding. Really?
Before he marched on Washington, he stomped on zombies.
Oh, boy. So, wait. Hold on. Now, did you and I not report a little while back that there was going to be an Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter kind of thing?
Abraham Lincoln.
And now there's Martin Luther King zombie hunter is basically what you're telling me here?
Absolutely, Chris. And you know what? Because we're in the know, I got a leaked document on other films in development.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to hear all about these.
Now, these are just the working titles, so they're not released yet, and these aren't go-ahead projects for sure.
These are just titles that they're still in development.
They're in the kicking ground, testing ground.
There's
Undead Red.
Undead Red?
Joseph Stalin, Vampire Tsar.
I like it. I like it.
This is cool. I think it might be a winner. Seasoned Steak. Chef Ramsay, Vampire Killer.
Steak. He gets his seasoning mallet there.
Right.
Yeah.
Fang Bang.
Fang Bang.
Fang Bang.
Okay.
Yeah, watch Jenna Jameson try to beat off as many vampires as she can.
Well, she's really going to have to defend herself, right?
Because they keep coming and coming.
They keep coming. So she's going to have to keep beating them off, right?
Oh, my goodness.
That's true.
And, there's another one here.
Okay.
Soaked Pads.
Okay.
Stop. It.
Sorry.
Johnny Bauer, Vampire Hunter.
Oh, I like that. Johnny Bauer,
Johnny
player.
Bauer, the old goalie, remember?
You know, when you said soaked pads.
Because Bauer got the pads. That's how he saves things.
Brought to you by
soaked pads.
Yeah,
so Johnny Bauer, Vampire Hunter. Now, you know, I mean, these could be a couple of winners there. I don't know.
I mean, you never know. I just thought the sponsor for that would have been like Kotex or something like that.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's terrible. Where'd you go with that? Is there a musical interlude you could take us out of here?
I'm just saying. All right, well, let's get the musical interlude going here. What do we got? This is here's something different that we've never played before. This is Night Crawlin' by Adam War Rock. Y'all ready for this? Hold on a second here. Let's get it going here. Here we go.
This goes out to Z from Hipster Please. Yeah, that's the way we do it. It's called Night Crawling. Go! Demon child with blue skin and yellow eyes. Smell of brimstone creeping in the dead of night. Swashbuckling praying to God when things are bad. That's why they tried to put the X across your head. Flip on cats the way that acrobatics do. I'm a king still holding Excalibur 2. And really tell me if you ever thought that you was just a little different. People always stared at you. Sometimes life is a circus, it makes me nervous. And then one day your true inner power emerges. Puff of smoke, you're moving to better places now. Doing everything you can to make a difference now. And I remember when the kids used to be scared of ya. Winsledorf when growing up in Bavaria. They said the winters were bad, you got older. Remember how they said the nights were even colder. First I'm over here, then I'm in your ears. So better listen, dear, as I'm crawling through the night with the finish in sight. Cause it's not the way you look, it's the way that you fight. Then I'm over there, then I'm in your ears. So better listen, dear, as I'm crawling through the night. And I'm walking to the light, cause it's not the way you act, it's the way that you fight.
That was cool.
Cool.
Yeah, I like that. No, that was good. That was nice. That was fresh.
You know what? That was different because we never played
that
before.
That was fat.
Adam Warrock. The great thing about Adam Warrock, he does all kinds of. It's a play on words, of course. Adam Warlock.
Right.
You know. Adam
I understand.
Warrock,
I understand play on words very well.
Okay. Just in case you weren't too sure about playing words. Sometimes I have to explain these things for you.
All right. Listen, let's keep going with industry news.
Industry news. Here we go. Wait, do you have a sponsor?
Sure. I'm about to read it.
All right, sorry.
It's brought to you by Wednesday. Yep, the best day of the week. It is like Christmas 52 times a year
at your
local comic shop. What? Did you write that one?
It's almost like I wrote that or something. Yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah, but you know what? It's absolutely correct. Wednesday is a great day. Let's start with gay weddings.
Gay weddings.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding.
Oh, it's gay, right.
Lots of gay weddings going on. This is great. This is what I like. This is why I'm dumb and guys are smart.
Okay. Yeah, I don't quite understand that, but go ahead.
Well, there are very, very great progressive, cool, happening comic shops across North America,
right,
that are performing actual weddings or acted out gay weddings
right,
at their store,
right,
for the release of the
Astonishing X-Men number 51.
Astonishing X-Men number 51. You got Maxim Comics in Las Vegas. You got Midtown Comics in downtown Manhattan. You have the Collector's Corner in Baltimore, Maryland.
Wow, this is awesome. So Basically all these comic book shops are performing.
Or they're getting
performers.
Yeah. Or there could be actual real weddings.
There could be real weddings or getting performers to act out same-sex weddings, which is great. I think it's fantastic.
Well, I think it's great. But the thing, though, is you see, how can I say this? I mean, you have a very hot topic in a way, right?
Yeah.
The gay wedding and comic, which is picking up a lot of great press. And
yep,
it's picking
absolutely.
Up. It's great to see comics, coming along and embracing, just what's happening in society like they always have.
Yeah.
But you get to see also the comic shop, which is really a microcosm of business and capitalism and stuff, and saying, hey, this is an opportunity for us to show ourselves and the community as a cool place.
As a comic shop owner, this is something you really should have. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but you should have jumped on this bandwagon.
Or considered it, or something like that.
And done something with it. Just had a special day made towards this.
You know what? I think these guys, though, I think all these guys should bow their hats. Is it? Tip their hats, sorry.
Bow their heads, tip their hats.
Yeah, I get those mixed up.
Yeah, I know.
To our friends over in Happy Harbor in Edmonton.
Why is that?
Because Happy Harbor at Edmonton, 3 years ago, when Archie and Betty and Archie and Veronica got married.
Right.
He staged a Archie and
Veronica wedding. That's right.
And it was covered by the national media, never mind the local Edmonton media.
Well, and you know what?
I think that's stuck in people's heads.
It just goes to show you that comics are in the media everywhere, and it just requires people that are involved in comics to actually do something about it.
Mostly,
we've been so secluded for so
long. That's the problem. We think small. We think inside our little four-wall box.
We think no one cares about our little industry, and then all of a sudden we've got the highest grossing movie of all time.
Right. And we don't know how to promote
ourselves. We really don't know
how to promote our businesses.
Because
local comic shops suck
for so long, so many people were ashamed or afraid of telling people, oh, yeah, I work at a comic book shop, or I'm kind of involved in comics. And,
I tell people I'm in real estate.
That really doesn't help your business very much.
No, not at all.
But it's true. It's true. We need to get outside thinkers thinking differently about the way comic book shops are promoted. Because, unfortunately, people that are into it, they can't think anything
different. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing with local comic book shops. Local comic book shops are brought to where they are by their proprietors or by their, the main manager that's running the things day to day and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes these people have, I won't say limited, but everybody's scope is limited. Your scope is limited to a range, and that may be wider than my scope, but my scope is limited,
but still limited
to a range. Yeah. And you're focusing on the day-to-day grind. You're focusing on this and that. You don't really have time to be a progressive, outside-the-box thinker and make risks when you're worried about the flipping, monthly order that's due tomorrow
and
figuring out whether you should get 72 of Spider-Man or 74 of them. Splitting hairs over a couple issues and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's true.
But you are right. You and I should go into consulting.
That's exactly what we should do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if there's an event
coming up, people come to us and we will tell you.
We'll have a great idea.
Yeah. We won't do anything about it, but we'll tell you what you should do.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then you sit there and not do anything about
it. Right?
After you pay us.
Absolutely.
All right.
All the best to the people that are putting out those gay weddings. Really, it's going to be a great time. And how fun would it be to go to a comic book shop and see, two gay characters from the Marvel Universe or from the DC Universe dressed up and getting married?
Right. Come on. Fun would it be to actually see, like, actual gay people getting married?
Absolutely.
For sure.
Like, have a wedding.
Say, hey, you know what? We're supporting this by showing that we're supporting this.
Why not? Right. I agree.
All right.
Now,
listen, something I don't agree with coming up.
Yeah, me either. Yeah, I agree.
So,
with you.
The Swedish Supreme Court has just ruled that manga is not child porn. So this.
Well, hold on now. Now, for those of you now, I know what manga is, but yeah. Now for a lot of our listening audience, they may not know what manga is. Now, but we should also clarify this a little bit. So, now manga is the Japanese comic books, right?
And they're, right.
The ones that they're that Sweden is talking about is not all manga.
No,
it's just a particular one.
A particular child porn type manga.
So there was one that looked like it was children. They were drawings of children.
They're drawings of children. And, you know, manga is... if people saw manga art, they would recognize it. The big kind of really big oversized eyes stuff like that.
Remember Astro Boy? Right, and that for the people that don't know what it is. Right.
Manga also is... There's a stream, or like I guess the video version of it would be called hentai.
Right, yes.
But the book version, I guess, is still within the manga thing.
Realm.
And so, yeah. So this court says that while the drawings do portray children, and they are pornographic, the drawings represent imaginary figures that could not be mistaken for real children... Thus, saying that they're immune to prosecution, I guess.
This almost disgusts me. Like, I think it's terrible the fact that they're willing to let images of children be displayed as not being displayed as child pornography. Really.
But here you go, Chris. You and I are right now looking like two old fuddy-duddies. The Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, with all the greatest actors and the artists in the world and stuff, they're all throwing money into this thing to defend
this kind of stuff.
And I guess, I will sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but if you draw a child, in this type of activity, it's the same flipping thing.
Yeah.
I mean, at what point in the drawing do you get to a point where it becomes realistic? Where, like what if Ken Danby, I don't know if anybody knows who Ken Danby is, but he was a realist.
Realist artist.
Like a Bateman. Artist. Yeah. What if these guys draw this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
And it almost looks like a photograph.
Then is it considered
it's still a drawing?
It's still drawing,
somewhere there's a line, and it's a subjective line.
And I'm wondering, I hate to say it, but I'm wondering if it's the lack of knowledge about what... manga is based on the Swedish courts, because do you remember there was that whole issue of Alan Moore's The Lost Girls, which was meant to be fairy tales, but they were drawn sort of like porn.
Yeah.
But it was like younger, it wasn't really children, but they were younger, early teens, adolescents. Exactly.
Adolescents. Lolitas.
Yes, right. Exactly. And it wasn't really child porn, but it was a little bit different. But, you know, people didn't balk as much because now all of a sudden it was Alan Moore, and people were saying, it was art, right?
Yes,
this isn't a storyline. This is porn. It's art. So at what point do people say, wait a second, there has to be a line drawn here, right?
Yeah, well, I've drawn the line, and I say that... porn is porn. Like the child porn depiction.
I agree.
Is porn.
I agree.
Anyway, let's
you.
Not spend any more time on that.
We've already spent too much time.
Way
on that.
Too much time. Yeah. On
all right.
Boo, Swedish courts.
Yes. Yeah. So here we go. Adult ebook sales tops hardcovers in the first quarter. What's that all about, Walt?
Well, Chris, that's exciting and interesting in a way that I guess book sales now, when they count the books, like when you go and you buy whatever book you buy, like the new current Grisham's or whatever.
Okay, right. They got a bookstore.
Yeah. They're either counted as soft covers, hard covers, or ebooks now. Those are the three big main categories.
I'm really a fuddy-duddy. I guess you can go and buy an ebook at like an Indiegogo or something.
I think you can
like
download
that?
It, but you can also buy it online.
Okay, right.
For the first time ever, I guess, the ebook portion of adult type of books.
Not porn, not adult.
Like Grisham and Danielle Steele and whatever. Mature, for adults.
Yeah.
Right? It's outselling the hardcovers.
That's crazy. That's good. That's good news, I think.
Yeah. Those e-readers, people are buying them and
those
they're downloading.
Kobos and Kindles and stuff
all
like that.
All that
kind
of stuff. While soft covers still are the dominant market form, they're saying within a couple of years that the e format will overtake.
I can see that happening. You know what? Yeah. Just the other day, I was talking to somebody that had a Kobo, and they were saying that they kind of went crazy one day, and they've got like, I don't know, I guess there was some sort of sale. I don't know exactly.
They bought the Encyclopedia Britannica.
They have like 2,000 books on their available on their Kobo or on their e-reader of some sort. And because I was mentioning,
don't they have to pay for that?
Well, I don't know how. Maybe there's a sale or something like that, or a bulk discount. I don't know how it worked, or who knows? Maybe it's illegal. I really don't know, but clearly Kobos and Kindles seem to be taking over because people are now able to read things that they wouldn't necessarily go out and purchase full. Because I think there's a bit of a discount when you buy it online, right? There's digital copies are usually a little bit cheaper, right?
Right. Well, you know what? I mean, I can see that because listen, I having a comic book shop, I have access to a really great discount from a book distributor.
Right, right.
I never use it personally. It's the stupidest thing in the world.
And I think this person did. And
you know
what?
But my point, though, is I like, say, once a month, going into Chapters or Barnes & Noble or Danny Champ's going to yell at us, Waterford's. Waterford's. I think it's Waterford's.
Is it Waterford's?
No, it's not Waterford's, but
Waterston?
Waterston?
I don't know.
Right. In one of those fancy bookshops.
Sure.
And I like just walking around, browsing the mags, browsing the thing. And then it hits me. I go, I really want to read this book. I want to read it tonight.
Right.
So I buy it right there at full pop when I could have got a great discount if I went back to the shop, logged in, and waited 4 days for it to come in.
Well,
the point
is
the convenience, right?
It is.
But there are guys and girls that are online a lot at night.
That's right.
And they're surfing and they're looking at these books and say, damn, I really want to read that. Tomorrow I can go to Waterford's. But no, I want to download it
right now. Yeah.
Right now. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's.
Well, I think that's the future. I think more and more people are online with their smartphones and with their Kobos and e-readers, and they can download all this stuff.
But here's the interesting thing, Chris. Here's the crux of the biscuit.
The crux of the biscuit?
I don't know what that means.
All right. I don't know. I think you just made
comic
that up.
Comic books.
Yeah.
Are lagging way, way, way behind this
now,
trend.
Is that because
not even 10% as an industry average.
Do you think it's because it's also a visual medium as well, and so people are therefore reluctant to go into that kind of visual thing?
I think it is.
Right?
I think it is. I think you
need a good iPad or BlackBerry thing, everybody. Right?
iPad. Right. Okay. Listen. You know what? If you look at magazines... Right. If you look at magazines, I think you won't like how many people read. Never mind, like Maclean's, Philosophy Now, Sports Illustrated, Time. I think most people still read like Chatelaine. They still want the hard copy.
Well, I'm wondering
because it's all visual, right?
That's right.
I subscribe to a couple magazines at home that the kids get me as gifts for my birthday.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I thought you mentioned that kids can't look at.
No, not at all. And with them, you get the online codes, right?
Right.
Never been on it. Never looked at it. Not at once.
Right.
Right? And I think I could have access about a week before the book comes. The magazine comes.
Right.
But I just never, it's like when the, you know.
When it's there, you'll pick it up.
Yeah. And so I think comic books are
but really,
semi-insulated because of that. Because they're very visual. People like them in their head.
But when you're perusing your issue of Chatelaine, do you really need to know a week earlier, how to please your lover?
All right. I needed them like 33 years earlier. Never mind that. Listen, Chris, let's go on. We don't want to bore people with our love lives.
All right.
Listen.
Speaking of love lives.
Speaking of love lives.
You've always been a big fan of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, haven't
you?
Yes,
I have.
All right.
Yes, I have. I've been loving them.
It looks like, Paramount was going to put out a TMNT movie, but it looks like they're putting it on hiatus for a little while.
Hiatus.
Yes, and this is because we've had a couple flops. Although we've had a couple great blockbuster movies come out recently, we have had a couple flops. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean flops as in, like, it's terrible, terrible, but John Carter certainly didn't live up to people's expectations.
I liked the movie.
Yeah, you saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen it. I've heard it's actually pretty good, but, the marketing and the distribution was terrible, so it flopped, according to them.
Right.
Battleship,
Miss.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Did not do nearly well as well. So now all of a sudden Hollywood studios are becoming a little bit cautious about what they're putting out. Even though they initially thought, hey, if it has to do with a game or a superhero, let's put it out and it'll do great. Well, Avengers did great, sure, and Batman will do great, and you know Spider-Man will do great. But John Carter and Battleship, not so much. So now they're kind of wondering what they're going to do. Paramount has already postponed G.I. Joe a little bit to go back to the drawing board a little bit.
Three G.I. Joes. Remember that there was that 12 Days of Christmas where they had the celebrities do the countdown? And it was Richard Burton going, 5 diamond rings.
Right.
And it was Walter Cronkite doing 4 super newsmen.
Right.
And it was always John Wayne going, 3 G.I. Joes.
Nice. I've never seen that.
All right.
But anyways.
Where were you?
Anyways, looks like TMNT is going to be on hiatus for a little bit. Word is that the Turtles movie is having a major rewrite. So they're probably going to do some new stuff and come up with something better.
Okay, listen. Hollywood's listening. I know some of those bigwigs listen to the show.
Well, of course they do.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I have the Hollywood solution. If they're listening to me, they're going to listen to me, and they can just write me a check later on when things pan out. Okay?
Okay.
Forget the $250 million epics that you've got everything invested in it, and if it tanks, you're screwed, okay? Have one of those a year, maybe, as a studio, okay? Go with people are ready. Fans are ready, Chris. Go with a $60, $70 million production.
Right.
Go lighter on the CGI.
Yep.
And go heavier into story and development and character
development. Absolutely. I completely agree.
Yeah. Go into nice, hard talking scenes. You know what I mean?
Oh, with TMNT?
Well, anything.
So you got a whole bunch of turtles sitting around in a, you know.
Sure, they're playing pool.
Smoking jackets.
No, but they can
having
be,
cigars.
They can be having cigars.
So, tell me about the plight of the world.
They'd be having cigars, playing poker, bantering back and forth. Why not? With, you know.
Like, you really think kids would want to see that?
Well, listen, I would.
Yeah, well, you're a minority in that regard.
Right. Okay, listen, I'm just saying that less sometimes is more.
Right,
okay.
Right.
All right. All right, Chris, all right, what are you going to do?
You got your fingers on the trigger. We're going to have a quick musical interlude here. We've got, I feel with the way the show is going, we've got to go into a little bit of William Shatner Day. So we're going to have a little William Shatner. I don't know if this is one you've heard before, but this is called Common People.
She came from Greece. She had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And in 30 seconds' time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. Well, what else could I do? I said, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you've got no money. She just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah? Well, I can't see anyone else smiling in here.
Are you sure?
You want to live like common people? You want to see whatever common people see? You want to sleep with common people? You want to sleep with common people like me? But she didn't understand.
She just smiled and held my hand. Rent a flat above a shop. Cut your hair and get a job. Smoke some flats and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. But still you'll never get it right. When you're lying in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it all here.
You'll never live like common people. You'll never do whatever common people do. You'll never fail like common people. You'll never watch your life slide out of you and dance and drink and screw. Cause there's nothing
else to do.
Captain's log, stardate 3472. Anyway, Chris, great stuff great by song. Mr. Shatner. Yeah. I'm just a huge fan of Shatner.
You know what?
He can do anything.
I realized it was not really all that comic related, but it's Shatner. How can you not play it, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's great. Yeah. Those high notes he was hitting.
He's
too.
Great. Oh. Well, he's not the singer on that one.
Really? Don't tell me that. Why'd you just
sing? I mean he does great singing.
Right. Yeah. All right, Chris, let's move on. Let's talk about Peter Cannon. Thunderbolt Returns.
Now you're an old comic guy, just like I am.
Yes,
and
I
Peter
am.
Cannon is a comic character that's been around forever, right?
Forever.
He's actually for those who aren't really aware of who he is, he's an old Charlton character who actually, believe it or not, he was the basis for the Ozymandias character from the Watchmen graphic novel / movie. He's the character that basically, he has no superpowers other than his mind. He believes that he can use his mind to will himself to do anything.
Yes.
So that's the whole bit on him.
Yeah, and of course now with the before Watchmen getting all the publicity, Dynamite figures they'll dig out. The Peter Cannon thing. Why I wanted to dig this out and talk to you about and ask you is a couple of things about Peter Cannon and about comics in general.
All right.
One is Peter Cannon, long dead, long forgotten.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What makes them think it can be popular again?
You know,
like, obviously, he was semi-successful for that generation.
Yeah.
But then the next and the next didn't pick him up.
They tried it in generation after generation. I remember working at the Silver Snail years ago.
Yeah.
And remember DC had a Peter Cannon Thunderbolt comic book out. And I thought, I picked it up and thought, oh, this is kind of a neat idea. But after that, I didn't really care.
Neither did anybody else.
Right.
Right.
And I think it's a great idea, but maybe it just hasn't been well written enough. I don't think so.
I don't think that they're just, once characters have lost a touch, lost something, you can't bring them back.
That's a good point, because really, I can't see Mandrake the Magician ever coming back.
Yeah.
Right?
Or even, sadly, something like Popeye.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what is it? Like, what? First of all, has there ever been? I can't think of one. Maybe if the listeners, if they can, in the comments field on the podcast, they can
let us know.
Like, I'm thinking, the closest thing that could come to something like this would be, say, like Iron Man
coming back.
Even though Iron Man never went away,
yeah.
He did have, like, he did approach C-list at some point.
Oh, yeah.
In the last 20 years.
Well,
he was kind of the, definitely not the first run, marginal second run character for Marvel.
Well, look at,
and now he's like the top dog.
Well, you look at a character like Daredevil, right?
Yeah.
So Daredevil was like, it was going to be canceled, and then they thought, well, let's give it to this no-name Frank mm-hmm. Miller to see what he can do with it.
Right.
And it was awesome.
Okay, but
right?
See,
and then it dies again, and then they give it to
Brian Michael Bendis. Daredevil and Iron Man, they never died. They always hung on because they were popular enough that the flame was never extinguished.
Right, okay.
Right?
That's what saying,
Peter
right.
Cannon's flame was extinguished.
It's dead. It's beyond. So, it's
gone. The next question is, and I don't think it'll work, because I don't think these flames can be rekindled.
I don't think it'll work either. I think the only people that are going to pick it up are people that are interested in who's doing the art, which is Alex Ross and Jay Lee and John Cassidy. And, other than that, it'll be people out of nostalgia. Oh,
right.
I remember that old Peter Cannon.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I used to love the Phantom.
So here's the next question, then. What makes characters popular from generation to generation to generation? What I call the generational jump.
Right.
Batman. When you think about Batman and Superman's longevity, not only granddad, but great-granddad
could have been
enjoying them. Granddad, dad, son, and then, their son and daughter.
There must be something to do with updating and keeping the character current, right? Because you look at, like Dick Tracy. Nobody cares about Dick Tracy right now, right?
Right.
Dick Tracy was huge in the 30s,
biggest thing
right?
in the world ever.
Huge,
yeah.
Absolutely huge. They had Dick Tracy watches. They had Dick Tracy, code cheats and things like that. And, there's all kinds of things that were going on with Dick Tracy. But now all of a sudden, it died off. But Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman has still stayed around from the 1930s as well. So
why them and not Dick Tracy?
But why not? Like, I don't know how well these things were pushed for a long time, right?
Right.
Like, was it kept in the media ad infinitum, as...
But you can keep, I think these companies, my point is, these companies will keep it in the media until people stop buying them. They don't, they don't go before sales go. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Something was happening to the characters. They were losing touch before, they were losing touch enough that the company had to pull the plug because they were losing money.
Maybe it's just writing. Maybe they don't know how to write a character to be with the times, right?
Right. So what's more important then? the cape or the guy behind the cape? Or the character or the character behind the character?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Right?
Yeah.
So is Spider-Man popular because we all relate to Peter?
Well, that's part of the genius that was Stan Lee. I mean, I know we harp on Stan Lee a lot, but Stan Lee really did create characters that people cared about because it was less about the cape and more about the person behind the cape.
Right.
So that's why Peter Parker is still around, because you know what? We all related to that nerdy kid who, you know, couldn't get the girl.
Right, and never had any money.
Didn't know what to do with his life, all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm sure as an adult, you're relating to Iron Man. He's an alcoholic.
Yeah, damn. We got billions to blow. Yeah, really.
Exactly. No, I'm joking, but seriously.
I think
there are character traits within the Marvel characters that make it very easy for people to relate to, as opposed to a lot of the DC characters did initially have mainly about the costume.
Right. Well, like Batman is a guy we can relate to. But here's an anomaly. Here's something to throw in the face of everything you and I have been agreeing with. Clark Kent. Nobody ever gave a crap about this guy, really.
Okay. Nobody reads Clark Kent comics.
Yeah,
people
but Superman survived four generations, and yet he's not a relatable character. He's not a character that you and I could relate to. He's not an alcoholic. He's not a student that doesn't have enough money.
But you're wrong about the fact that people can't relate to him, because I remember that people still relate to characters where they're immigrants,
right,
and they're disconnected to their parents, just like Clark Kent was. Clark Kent is an immigrant from another country, and he is disconnected with his original parents. He's an adopted son of the Kents.
Fair enough.
So
fair enough,
you know,
Chris.
So there
fair
is
enough.
there are relations there that people can relate to. That
I did not have sexual relations with that girl.
Anyways,
with Clark,
I think it's a great question. I think people should post topics on Comic Book Daily about what their thoughts on that are.
Right. Okay. So Chris, we're going to keep this thing moving.
I didn't mean to run. We're running out of time here. Walt, you pulled up this great article about Marvel does Cirque du Soleil.
Marvel does Cirque du Soleil.
Right, and that is not a new adult title out there.
No, it's not, Chris. It's about Ka.
Right. What is Ka? What is Ka?
Ka is that big extravaganza that Cirque du Soleil has that you have to pay. I think the minimum ticket down in Las Vegas is like $840.
Oh, okay. So this is like a Cirque du Soleil show.
Cirque du Soleil show.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
Marvel is doing a comic book of the Ka show, and the Ka show is like it's like the Imperial Twins are these characters in the show. So Marvel's developing a comic book on a Ka show. It'll be called, I think, Ka.
Wait.
So they're introducing it at the San Diego Comic Con.
Okay, so hold on. In Vegas, there's a Cirque du Soleil show.
It's a Cirque du Soleil show.
Right,
yeah.
And Marvel is making a comic book based on Cirque du Soleil.
You had a really hard time saying it.
I know. It's a lot of strange words there for me.
Right, yeah.
You know, here's my question for you.
What is your question?
Why don't they do a Cirque du Soleil Marvel show?
Duh.
Rather than doing a show based on Cirque
du
Soleil.
Ding, 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 ding. I think Chris has got the winning...
Who would not go see that?
Yeah.
Seriously.
So what you're saying is screw the car.
Screw the car.
Screw the car.
It's all car.
It's all car.
Yeah.
Car.
Car.
And you're saying... Cirque.
Yes.
Hey,
Cirque.
Buddy.
Hey,
Cirque.
Cirque. Hey,
come here.
Come here for a sec.
Why don't you put on an extravaganza that has to do with Marvel comics, like an
Absolutely.
Opera, like a comic thing, turn out the lights type of thing.
Turn off the lights,
turn off the dark,
or whatever
but
it's called.
But you're right, though.
Yeah.
Forget about the Broadway.
Forget about the car.
Yeah, forget about Broadway, too.
Yeah.
Broadway doesn't know how to do that Cirque du Soleil are like geniuses.
Vegas. I'm telling you right now.
Listen, Cirque du Soleil already has those flying drapes and those wires already set up.
Exactly.
Right? And they have the guys that know how to how to go on those.
How cool would it be to see, Iron Man flying around and, Captain America jumping around and seeing, MODOK or something like that. Giant MODOK thing coming down and blasting things.
So forget about Ka.
Yeah.
How about Kavengers.
Kavengers.
Yes. Kavengers.
I like it.
At your local Las Vegas Hilton.
Theater. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Theater. Yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm surprised that Cirque du Soleil, because comic books are so visual.
Yeah,
and Cirque du Soleil is so visual, so acrobatic.
It would be awesome.
That there hasn't been a marriage between the two.
You know what?
And now that there has been a marriage, they got it wrong.
They're going the wrong way. They're going the opposite way.
Don't
make a comic out of Cirque du Soleil. Make a Cirque du Soleil out of a comic.
Yes.
Good really? Come on. Now. This is just ridiculous.
Good call.
You know,
Chris.
So, like, I would book my flight to Vegas tomorrow. In fact, you know, I'm going on my honeymoon in a few weeks because I'm getting married.
Honey, I got a surprise for you.
Yeah, exactly. Forget St. Lucia. We're going to Vegas.
Hello? Hey, Walt. Listen, bud, I need a place to sleep tonight.
That's the way that would play out. How much time we got here, Walt?
That's it, Chris.
Oh, geez. All right.
Well, why don't you read off that part where you go, well...
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Oh, all right, Chris. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by
Mitch
Bookstein. Sorry, Mitch. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link, scroll down to the comments field, and add your comments. Also, visit us on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com to listen to the podcast.
And remember, the X-ray specs in the back of the comic don't actually work. That's from personal experience.
Listen, please, go out and support your local comic book store.
And have yourself a great day.